close encounters with God. That's really what I want in my life. And I believe that's what you want in your life. And I believe that's what our pastor wants for our church, is to have a close encounter with Almighty God. You cannot probably get a meeting with Donald Trump, but you might not go up to Trump Tower or the White House, but you can have a close encounter with somebody higher, and it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you say amen this morning? And so what I've been talking about was, sometimes we don't feel like we're holy enough. Sometimes we look at these people in the Bible and we think, you know, these saints and these perfect people. Yeah, really? We've been learning that the people that have had close encounters with God were not perfect. They had, I've said this and the Lord gave it to me, they may have had halos on their head, but they had dust on their feet and sand on their feet. They were very much human beings like you and me. And people like Adam, people like Abraham, people like Joseph and Moses. I've preached on all of these. You can download them on our website. And people like David, people like Daniel. And so last Sunday night, I started talking to you about Peter. And so I want us to look at Peter this morning, the big fisherman. So would you stand with me and let's go to Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And I believe the Lord has a word for you this morning. I believe God is going to, this is your comeback in your marriage, your comeback in your finances, your comeback in your ministry, your comeback in your life. It is not over. The best is yet to come. The Lord is in the house. It's time for a comeback. Amen. As pastor says, you can bounce back from your setback. Amen. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. If you're there, say amen. Praise God. And Brother Derek, just give me a thumbs up when you've put it on the screen. Thank you each and every time. And I appreciate it. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. If you're there, say amen again. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may do what? Sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And not if, but when you are converted. I love that. He didn't say, now if you make it, if you turn around. No, he said, when you are converted or when you've repented, when you've come back, strengthen thy brethren. And verse 33, and now here comes Peter. He said, now, Lord, you know I am ready to go with thee, both in prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, but before you shall thrice deny that you know me. Father, today, give us a close encounter. Thank you for the comeback. You've set us up for a comeback. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. May I decrease, may you increase. Let your word go forth today. And everybody said amen. Amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're so glad to see them here this morning. You're so glad. Amen. One more time, give our Lord a big hand of praise this morning. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the glory. Amen. Amen. I called Peter the big fisherman because in 1956, a movie came out called The Robe. You may want to rent it or buy it, The Robe, but it deals a lot with Peter, and his code name was the big fisherman. And of all the people that encourage me the most, of all the people that I identify with the most, I believe it has to be the Apostle Peter. With all his failings, when you study the life of Peter, he had a lot of failings, he had a lot of fumblings, he had a lot of mistakes, and he had a lot of misspeaks. And I can identify with him because I've had a lot of mistakes, and I've had a lot of misspeaks, and I've had a lot of fumblings and a lot of failings. And so, if he can have a close encounter with God and have all of those issues, then who am I, or you and I certainly can have close encounters as well. Can you say amen? Amen. Last week we talked about Peter's conversion. How did Peter get saved? Well, we found out last week that Andrew, his brother, brought him to the Lord. Andrew, his brother, brought him to the Lord. We don't read much about Andrew. The one great event in his life was this, that he brought his brother to Jesus. And can I tell you that Easter is coming up, and actually every Sunday, but Easter is the easiest day to get somebody in the church. You need to already begin to start asking your friends and family and your brothers and sisters, because who knows, this Easter we may see another big fisherman get saved and forever change the life of what God has planned for the future. Can you say amen? We talked about his conversion. We talked about his courage. Peter was a courageous man. He was a man's man. He cut off the ear of the high priest's servants when they were trying to arrest Jesus. And I talked to you today, last Sunday, about how we need to take the sword of the Spirit and wield it and cut off all of the things that the devil is trying to do in our life. I also talked to you how he walked on the water. He's the only man that we know of, that human being that's ever walked on water. But in order to walk on water, you have to do what? Get out of the... Now, I don't know about you, but I watched that movie Titanic, and I'm not getting out of the boat. I'm not going to be Jack that goes down and drowns at the end of that movie. Come on now. It took a lot of courage. And we need courage today. If we're going to have close encounters with God, we've got to not be restrained and confined by what we see. Every now and then, God calls us to step out into the unknown, whatever it is. But if he's calling you and he's there, you can have a close encounter with God. You can do the impossible and see the invisible. And you can break down the kingdoms, the devil's kingdom. Say amen tonight. This morning, I should say. Amen. And then Peter took courage. He was the first apostle to go to the peoples of other races. He went to the Gentiles, and he was a proud Jew. And he was content for the gospel to go to the Jews. And I'm glad to know that there's people today that have courage to reach out to others, no matter what their skin color is. Say amen. And then we closed last Sunday night about Peter's confession. Go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, very quickly. Matthew chapter 16, and this is going to tie in with the message this morning. And then we're going to close today with his comeback. Hallelujah. His crash and his comeback. But look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 19. And thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was his confession. Matthew 16 and 16. Thou art the Christ. That was a confession. Have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord? Have you boldly confessed Jesus Christ is God Almighty? He is the Son of God. He is my Savior. Listen, we don't need to be ashamed when we're in the schoolhouse, when we're in the workhouse, no matter when we're in our own house. We need to confess Jesus Christ. We need to boldly confess it. It's not a private matter in between me and God. No, it's a public confession. I'm confessing publicly. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you. But you're my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When we make that confession, it comes backed up with authority. We can have authority in our homes, authority over Satan, authority over sickness. We have the keys of the kingdom when we make that confession. Don't back up and let the devil just cower you and tell you how bad you are and put you back in a court. Be bold and be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Take courage, take confession, and tell the world, and tell the flesh, and tell the devil that you belong to Jesus Christ. And if you do, the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm telling you, it's a fight out there. If you've got family, if you've got children, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to lay down some great. You're going to have to come into warfare. But it's a fight we're going to win. Amen. It's a fight we're going to win. John chapter 6, verses 67 through 68. Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Oh, what a confession. What a confession. But this morning, I wish we could say everything was great. I wish we could say that Peter was had that halo just a shining. I wish Peter, you know, walks into church like a proud deacon and could do no wrong, could never fail, could never mess up. But oh, did he ever fail? And did he ever mess up? Even after walking on the water, even after seeing Jesus feed the multitude, even after him getting keys to the kingdom. And that lets me know, that helps me. Because with all the fumbling and the bumbling and the mistakes, putting a foot in his mouth, speaking before he thought, yet with all of these, we're going to find out that he went on and he walked on water and he preached the 3,000 and just his shadow brought healing to others. And if he could have close encounters, I know that you can. I know the devil is telling you how bad you are. I know the devil is just riding you and telling you that it's not worth going to church. It's not worth doing it. You're not worth anything. And you've sinned so much and you've done that. That devil is a liar. Jesus Christ is Lord. Make your confession. It's time to come back this morning. So first of all, let's talk about the crash. So we've talked about his conversion, his courage, his confession. Point number one this morning, the crash. How could he crash like he did? Let's go to our text again. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both in the prison and the death. And he said, I tell you, before the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Notice these words. Satan desires to have you. Go back to that. Verse 31. Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. And actually in the Greek, the word desire, the word you in the Greek, you know, the Bible was not written in King James English. It was written in the Greek long before English was ever even established as a language. So there you go. Just take that for what it means. But anyway, the word you is actually plural. And so you could really translate this scripture to say, Simon, Peter, Satan has desired to have every one of you. You know, in the English, it looks like he's talking just to Peter. But really, he could have been translated. You could translate it correctly. Say, Simon, Satan has desired not only you, but all 12 of you. Satan has desired not only you, Peter, but he's desired to have every single person in this room this morning. Satan is desiring to have every mother and every father. Statistics tell us that if the father does not attend church with the family, or when the father attends church with the family, there's a 60 to 70% more likelihood that the entire family will be saved in the long run. So that's why the Satan desires to have every father. He desires to have every preacher. He desires to have every young man. He wants every young man to be a drug pusher. He wants every preacher to fall into some immorality. He wants young girls to get pregnant so that life will be hard and difficult, not only for them, but for the child without the family. You know what? It's a lot easier when there's a two raising the kids, and all you parents say amen. Now, God forgives and God grants mercy, and we don't believe in abortion, even if there's a pregnancy outside of marriage. But just take my word for it, young ladies. Wait till you have a man that can help you beat those kids up when they act like the devil. Come on. I had this lady at West Road Church, and she had about 4 kids, and they were running all around. And she'd say, stop it, sweetie, stop it. I'm like, man, you need a man in there to say, hey, get over here and sit down before I tear you up in Jesus' name. I brought you in this world. I can tear you up. I'll put you back together afterwards. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? The devil wants to have every teenager. Thank God he doesn't have all of them. Thank God he doesn't have Derek and Katie and all of these. We ought to applaud that this morning, that God's got some young people. Hallelujah. That are serving him. Listen, no wonder there's been a struggle. No wonder there's been some temptation. No wonder it seems like there's always conflict. It's because Satan is desiring to have you. You are a target of Satan. He doesn't want you to have victory. He doesn't want you in. He hates it when you go to church. You want to make the devil happy, sleep in on Sunday morning when you could go to church. Well, it's my only day to rest. And you mean to tell me the God that gave you breath to make $600 last week, you don't have enough of breath in you? The same God that gives you breath can't give you enough breath to get you to church to praise Him for that? Now, Lord, have mercy. The pastor gave me a double anointing, so you're going to get it this morning. Come on now. I feel it. I feel it. Come on, don't say, you want to make the devil happy? You just stay home and just watch TV or something. While you say, well, I don't really need to go to church. Brother, you need to go to church. Sister, you need to go to church. And your family needs to go to church. Because if you don't need it, somebody else needs you to be there. Hallelujah. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm sorry. That's just the word of God. Satan desire. It ain't all about you. Praise God. You are needed and you need it. And I'm going to talk about that crap because let me tell you what happened here. The devil is targeting you. He doesn't want you to pray and fast. What a testimony of fasting. And here's another thing. If you do get to church, okay. All right, you're in church, but whatever you do, don't raise your hands and worship. Don't say amen. Don't say hallelujah, because I just want you to sit there and be comfortable. Would you like to make the devil mad? Why don't you just lift your hand and just say, devil, I'm going to worship the Lord. You desire to have me, but I desire God. Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up this morning. Lift your hands up. Hallelujah. I want a close encounter. A close encounter with the Lord. Almighty. Give Him a hand of praise. Give Him a shout of victory. You may be seated. Amen. Now, sift you. He desires to sift you. The verb there in the Greek, Synizio, and that's the southern way of pronouncing a Greek word. What happens was simply you put all the wheat and all the chaff and everything that came out of the initial process, and you put it in a large flat instrument or basket, and then they would violently, turbulently shake it and then throw it in the air, and the wind blowing away the lighter chaff and leaving only the heavier wheat. So it was a way to separate the wheat from the chaff, and it was a sifting process. That'll preach. Because notice, though, that to separate the wheat and the chaff, there was a violent, turbulent throwing. It was sifting. That's what they called it. It was a rapid shake. Does that sound like your week last week? Does that sound like what you've been going through? Some shaking and some violence and turbulence? Then guess what? You're right on target with where God wants you. Because it's not fun when it seems like you're being sifted. You're being torn to pieces. It's not fun. And Satan is desiring to have this church. And he's desiring to destroy your life. And that's what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to tear your life into pieces. He wants to tear you into pieces. He wants to look at John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan has desired to sift you. And look at 1 Peter 5 and 8. Many years later, an older, wiser Peter says this, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. What? Seeking whom he may devour. So you need to be sober and to be vigilant. You need to be aware of your surroundings. Oh, Satan desires to sift us, to tear us, to throw us violently. He desires to do all of that. But I'm going to give you a shock, shock, shock. Satan had to ask for permission to do this. Notice Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. And I can just see the devil coming up and saying, oh God, yes, Satan, What are you doing? Oh, God, I would really like to give Peter a hard time. Do you mind if I just, and I can see God just, can you see, do you see what I'm saying? The devil has not got no power. Come on. He had to ask for permission. And so God, in his sovereign purposes, said, yes, you can sift him for a little while. Aren't you glad tonight, this morning, to know that God is in control of your life? Amen. And if the devil is sifting you, it may be the plan and the purpose of God, letter A, but there's also a flip side to the coin. What's the flip side to the coin? You see, sometimes it's our own actions that cause us to be in a position to be sifted by we. Can I get a witness? So I don't believe God was just saying to the devil, just go out there and sift Peter and shake him and violently. I don't believe he just did that just to do that. I believe God knew that Peter was going to make some very crucial decisions that played into the sifting that he was about to go through. Yeah. It's sometimes we can blame the devil on a lot of things. You remember me telling me about the little story my Aunt Lola told me when I was just a young kid, the devil was sitting on the sidewalk and the devil was crying, like, ooh, 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 just crying. And somebody said, well, Mr. Devil, why are you crying? And he looked back and said, because everybody blames everything on me. Come on now. Now, he's a tempter. He can whisper to you to stay in bed, but you still have the power to get out of bed. Can you say amen? And there's a lot of things we do. We get offended. We're not aware of our surroundings. We're not praying and fasting. And then on that night that Peter crashed, let me give you three things that led to his. Notice he didn't have a sudden crash. He had a gradual descent. Peter's crash and your crash is not all. If it's a sudden thing, I promise you it had been leading toward it and you just didn't pay attention. First of all, go to Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. If you're there, say amen. It says, then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And what's those last words? And Peter did what? He followed afar off. That was the beginning of his crash. Actually, I can take you even before that. I was reading something the other day about this, and I had never noticed this, Brother Philip. But I didn't have time to weave it into this message this morning. But you remember when Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Peter said, upon this rock, I'll build a church. Your name is Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build this church. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. How many of you remember reading that a little while ago? And Peter, man, he was like on the top. But a little bit later, right after that, Jesus starts talking about going to the cross, suffering and dying. And then Peter looks at Jesus and said, be it far from you. I don't want that suffering. I don't want to go down no Calvary. Peter's crash started right then. Because he started getting into his mind that serving Jesus is going to be, everything is going to be good. And there's not going to be any rainy days and not going to be any tests or any trials. And my friend, if you think that serving God is just going to be a bed of roses, let me tell you, inwardly, it always is. Outwardly, there's trials and tests and problems. And so Peter, he started crashing right then. And then the Bible says he started walking afar off. Somebody say afar off. We got a lot of Christians like that today. They're about half in and half out. They're about, you ever talk to somebody or every now and then people will come by and they tell me, I'll invite them to church. Oh, I go to church. Oh, you do? Well, what is your pastor's name? And they don't remember their pastor's name. Then that tells me they're not going to church. Come on now. Oh, we got some people half in and half out, lagging behind. You know what I'm talking about, lagging behind. Look at what the scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 18. It says, the enemy smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when you were faint and weary. So notice here that the enemy, he is the enemy, smote the hindmost of thee. So get the picture here. The children of Israel were going into the promised land. How many of you know we're headed to the promised land? But some people were lagging behind. And because, in other words, the rest of the people were going on, but these people were at the very back, at the very end, and they just weren't keeping up. And because of that, they became vulnerable. Somebody say vulnerable. I'm going to tell you something. That's the way it is. If those same they were subject to the attack of the enemy because they were easy targets. And I'm going to tell you, friends, if those same people had been in the middle, they would have never been as easy as a target as they were at the end. Now, there's always going to be a danger, no matter where you are, of the enemy's attacking. But, man, you want to know how to solve that? Don't lag behind. Get into the middle of what God wants to do in your life. When it comes to church, don't lag behind. Get in the middle of what God is doing at Westmoreland. He's raising up a church here. God is doing amazing things. Don't just stand on the peripheries and be in and out. Come on in and get right in the middle, because as you're lagging behind, because when you're in the middle, you're going to hear word. You're going to hear music. You're going to have a work to do. It'll keep you focused. It'll keep you on task, because if Peter can fall, and having seen all that he did and having walked on the water, then brother and sister, we're going to fall. I don't want to walk far behind. I want to be right in the middle of what God is doing in this world and in my life and in this church. And I want my family in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The banana that leaves the bunch is always gets peeled. I love a banana. It's one of God's gift. No, don't do the mayonnaise, because that's not a gift to your heart. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Ray. I'll let you have Duke's mayonnaise. Amen. But that banana right by itself, and it's hanging there, and I get my eyes on that banana, and I just pull one of them off. And as soon as I pull it off and get comfortable, I'll start peeling that thing. And first bite is a half moon, and the second bite is a total eclipse. Amen. Oh, you listen, get in the middle of Sunday school. Get in the middle of Sunday morning worship. Get in the middle, even if you can, on Sunday night. Get in the middle of Wednesday night. I'm not saying you've got to go to church every single time the door is open, but you can be here and be in the middle of what God is doing in this world. Can you say amen? Don't walk afar off. I don't want to be in the Satan sifting machine. I don't want to deny the Lord. I want to stay truth. I don't want to fall afar. I want to be right there where God wants me to be. Amen. And then look at Luke chapter 22, verse 55. Not only did he follow afar off, but number two, he warmed by the world's fire. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, are you there? Say amen. All right. And they were set down together. Guess what? I'm not ever going to deny you. I'm going to die for you. He's already walking afar away. And by the way, there's another thing he did. He slept during the night when Jesus was praying. So started with the confession, and then be it far from you. And then it went to the night that he slept, when he should have been awake. And then he's fallen afar off. And now he's warming by the world's fire. How many of you know the world has a fire? It's on fire out there. Yeah, it's on fire all right. It's like the fire that we need to call the fire department and put it out. Amen. And I'm tired of seeing people all fired up about football and fired up about basketball and fired up about the Grammy Awards and fired up about some political party, you know, fired up about, you talk to people sometimes and they don't even know the book of Hezekiah from the book of Isaiah. and yet they could tell you every statistic on the latest baseball team and who won the World Series in 1936. And they've got memorabilia, and you got people fired up about boats and going down to the beach. And it makes me, and when I'm preaching like this, I can see that some of you are thinking, well, Brother Ricky, do you want us to have any fun? Look, there ain't nothing wrong with baseball or basketball, particularly if you support one team that I like. Amen, which I dare not call from the pulpit. But I like sports, but I'm going to tell you something. It don't fire me up. Come on. You know what fires me up? The Word of God. Prayer, the anointing, amen, hallelujah. And look, it's nothing wrong with having a boat, nothing wrong with going to the beach, nothing. There's not a thing wrong with those. It's a thing wrong with them when you're cold to God and you're on fire for that stuff. Amen, somebody. As long as you stay on fire for God, if you're out there on the boat, as you're passing people, say, glory, hallelujah, you know. Amen. And as long as it doesn't keep you from doing the work. Folks, let me just tell you something. Do you know when we're going to have the ultimate vacation? Is when we get to glory. Hallelujah. This world is not a playground. It's a battlefield, brother. Yeah, we can have some vacation. Yeah, we can have some enjoyment. We need refreshment. But I want to be on fire for God. I want to be consumed. I don't want to be warmed by the world's fire and by videos and music and movies, things that are not spiritual, things that are not good. I want to feed myself and fire myself. And sometimes you got to stir the fire in your own life. Amen. Sometimes that fire gets a little low. So I got to throw some more logs on it. Amen. Every day when I pray and ask God to help me, I'm trying to stir up that fire. You got to keep the fire burning. Somebody shout hallelujah this morning. Now, have I made everybody mad yet? All right. Number one, he walked afar off. Number two, I'm talking about his crash. He warmed by the world's fire. And then letter C, he sat down with the wrong people. It says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 74, it says he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately, what you don't read in this verse is that he found himself around people. He just slipped in, and he thought that nobody would recognize him. He thought that nobody would. Let me tell you something. He was with the wrong people. Why didn't he go look for James? Why didn't he go find Andrew? I know when I'm going through a crisis, I'm going to find some spirit. Man, my Aunt Lola, I'm telling you, when I would get off work at Kmart in Rocky Mount, and she lived just not far from there, and on Friday night at 9:30, I'd knock on her door, and she'd welcome me in, and I would just listen to her talk about God and the anointing. And you know what I was doing? I was with some good people. Amen. And then I remember when I got into East Carolina that I started being around some people that they said they were Christians, but they weren't very much on fire. And I began to get a little bit loose, and I didn't think church, well, I'll go to church, but not that important anymore. You know what was happening to me? I was getting around the wrong people. Let me tell you, listen, I'm a friend to everyone. I'm a friend to people, just because I'm a Christian or a preacher, I love people. Even if they don't go to church, I'm going to be friendly with you. Even if you don't go to church, I want you to know that God loves you and I love you, and I'm going to talk to you and be friendly. But I got to be very, very careful when I get around people that are influencing me away from the things of the Lord, because if you're not careful, wrong voices will cause you to have wrong choices, and we better be very selective and have some good godly friends, people who will encourage us and pray for us and stand with us. And if we do that, we'll be less susceptible to be sifted, less susceptible to have a crash. Can I get a witness out there today? Amen. Who was your friend? Somebody said, show me your friends. I'll show you your. Amen. Amen. That was his crash. But aren't you glad that even though he crashed, God didn't give up on him? And some of you think God can't possibly have something for you. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Now, let's talk about his comeback. Somebody say comeback. Look at Luke chapter. Derek, did I have that scripture? Luke chapter 22. So here he is. He's crashed. He's denied the Lord three times. And The rooster has crowed three times. Here we are coming up on Easter. And now he has completely crashed. Now let's go to Luke chapter 22. Did I have that scripture up there? Luke chapter 22 and whatever that verse is. I can't even remember it. Just go ahead and put it on up there for me. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. What was the beginning of the comeback? It was the look of love. It was the look of love. At that moment when Peter realized, I've blown it. I've sinned. I've made a crash. I've warmed by the wrong fire. I've sat with the wrong people. I walked afar off. What have I done? What of a mess that I've made? How could I ever deny my Lord? But at that moment, he sees the eyes of Jesus. And these were eyes that were not fussing. These were eyes that were not forsaking. These were eyes that were not forgetting. Let me tell you, these were eyes that were focusing on his love and his passion for Peter. Oh, my friend, I'm telling you, you may have messed up. You may have crashed this morning, but there's a God looking at you and looking at you. He's still got a plan for your life. He still can forgive. You can still walk on the water. You don't have to stay in sin and oppression and depression. There's a God on the throne this morning, and he's looking at you. When we've done our worst, he's at his best. He died at the cross, where I first saw the light. And he's looking at you this morning, and he's looking towards you. And it's a look of love. Can you say amen? Sort of like the prodigal son. You remember the story of the prodigal son? The son went away from the father. And the father, the Bible says, was looking for him. And the Bible says that when the prodigal son's father saw him afar off, he ran to meet him. Oh, I'm telling you, you're falling into the arms of love. And the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He began to cry, oh God, why did I do it? How could I ever deny you? And isn't that the heart of the true repentant? Isn't that the heart of you and I when we, listen, we can just, I remember one day I went through Taco Bell and I went through the drive-thru and the lady didn't get my order right and she looked at me and I said, look, I was not supposed to get tomatoes, and I handed them back to her. And I didn't just hand them back to her. I shoved them back to her. And she looked at me and she said, well, that's the best we're going to do. I put my car in park and I said, I'm not moving until you get it right. Ordained preacher. And then it just dawned on me. We were going to have an African-American young lady, and it dawned on me that we were going to have an African-American choir sing Sunday night from Greenville. This was in Greenville. And the thought crossed my mind, what a tragedy it would be if this girl was a part of that choir. And I've looked so bad and acted so ugly over tomatoes. I don't mean this to sound spiritually higher than anybody, but I went out and wept bitterly because I know that I didn't show the right spirit over tomatoes. Come on. Is it really worth it? Somebody tried to break in the drive-through line, and man, I could see cars almost try to kill. I'm like, just let the person go. You know what? There's times in our life we just say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I've shamed you. Lord, I've not been the witness. And when you do that, you are on your way to a comeback. Because he's already forgiven. He's already made a way. He says, that's all right. You may have fallen. You may have warmed by the wrong fire, but I'm about to give you some Holy Ghost fire. Glory to God. You may have failed. You may have been sifted, but this is your comeback. And he will take those tears and he will say, I forgive you. How many of you know the greatest words ever spoken are these? The songwriter said, is I forgive you. Is anybody here forgiven of sin? Has he washed your sins white as snow? Nobody can boast. From all of us this morning, we need his mercy. We need his grace and all his unmerited favor, his everlasting covenant. Oh, thank God, I hope on his mercy. They're new every morning. Guess what? I'm going to stumble tomorrow and Tuesday, but I already know, I don't mean to, but I already know that he's already looking and he's already provided. He has saved me and he's going to keep me saved. I wish somebody, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Go to Mark chapter 7. I'm about to wrap this up. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. And I'm also about to run to Al. So get ready, Brother Billy. I might hit you. Hallelujah. Because I love a comeback. Amen. I love a comeback. A couple years ago in the Super Bowl. I know, so I don't want to bring up those things. But I know that one team was down. I told my, I was coming home from Danville, Virginia. And it was the Patriots and the Falcons. And I mean, they were down like 40 points. I don't know, 30, 40 points. It was a lot in it. And I told my wife, I said, this game ain't over. This game ain't over. And I'm telling you, we drove because I was preaching a revival and we came through Raleigh. I had it on Sirius satellite because I wanted to hear and see this come. I just knew there was going to be a comeback. And I'm telling you, we listened on the I-540, one touchdown right after the other. And before it was over, it was the greatest comeback of all time. Now, I'm not telling you I'm a Patriots fan. I'm just telling you I'm a comeback fan. I'm here to tell you the game ain't over yet. I'm here to tell you he's still working on me. I'm here to tell you you can come back. Glory to God. You may be down by drugs. You may be down by divorce. You may be down by wretched sin. But my God will save you. He is looking at you. He's got a plan and a purpose. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah, somebody. I said glory to God. Thank God for a comeback. Look at it. Look. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, now, put yourself in Jesus' place. He was a human. He was all God and all man. He was not half man and half God. And I don't know about you, but if somebody denies me, and if somebody, one of the toughest things to deal with, is somebody dealing with people that stab you in the back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They don't have your back. You go to work one day and you think everything's hunky-dory and one of your coworkers has thrown you under the bus and you're in trouble. Don't you want to know how I know that? Because I'm in the real world. Amen. And Jesus got thrown under the bus, got denied. And you would think that Jesus would have a little, and as good as I was to Peter, and I healed his mother-in-law. But look at this. When Jesus rose from the dead, he told those who found him, or the angels told those that found him, go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Listen, the angel could have just said, and he's speaking for Jesus, by the way, go your way to the disciples and tell them that I've risen from the dead. No, he didn't say that. He said, go to the disciples and you make sure Peter, because I'm pretty sure Peter feels really low. Don't you feel really low when you mess up? Guilt. And then the devil comes in with condemnation. You sorry something. You're not even worthy to go to church. You're not even worthy. You've messed up. You've said a cuss word. You know a Christian ought not to cuss. And you let it slip. And how bad are you? And the devil just pours on you. You might as well give up on God. Is there really a God anyway? Come on. Is this stuff real? You know, the devil just pours on. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But God said, no, you go and tell my disciples and you make sure Peter knows that I still love him. I am rose from the dead for him. Let him know he's still part of the plan. Turn around and tell your neighbor you're still part of the plan. Tell hallelujah, you're part of the plan. God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose. He's alive again and the stone's been rolled away. And I want you to know this morning that he singled him out. Can you say amen? Go to John chapter 21 and we're going to try to close this message. And so How do you have a comeback? You just reverse the things that I just said that caused the crash. Because now we see Peter. Go to John chapter 21 and verse 21 and verse 9. Well, I'll just have to explain. I don't have time to read it all. Peter is now with the right people. Amen. Somebody say right people. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And so they went out fishing. And they went out fishing. And the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord called unto Peter. And that tell you the Lord is calling to you today. And the Bible says that when Peter was out on the boat fishing, trying to catch something, and he heard that Jesus was on the shore, and Jesus said, "Hey, Peter." The Bible says that Peter jumped into the water and did everything he could to get back to Jesus. So he's reversing it. Amen. He's with the right people now. And now he's not following afar off. He's getting closer to Jesus. And then the next thing we see is that they're around a fire and cooking some fish. That's, isn't that great? The way to come back is the way you left back. Amen. Are you with me? Just reverse what you did. And around that fire. And by the way, this is funny to me. Jeff Brown. If some of you remember Jeff Brown, I'll never forget him saying this. He was a great, great man of God. Very strange, very different. And he made this point one time. He said they were out there trying to catch fish. And Jesus was on the shore cooking what they were trying to catch. Amen. Did you know that Jesus has what you're looking for? Amen. Come on and give him a hand of prayer. He has what you're looking for. Well, I can't find love. He is love. Hallelujah. God is love. Well, I can't find this. I need this. He is all that we need. He is all that we need. And here's a conversation. Jesus asked him three questions. Can we go to John chapter 21, verse 15? And Brother Clark, if you'll come and get ready to play. And Sister Bridget. John chapter 20, verse 15. So when they had dined, somebody say, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto them, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." Go to the next scripture. Verse 16. He saith unto him again, somebody say the word again. The second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto them, what? "Feed my sheep." And then go again, verse 17. He said unto him the third time. Somebody say the third time. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved. Actually, a better translation is not grieved. That sounds like it was more like he was peeved. But no, really the translation is he was more contrite. He was more condemned. Not condemned is the right word, but sorrowful. He began to feel a brokenness. Peter, broken, because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And because he was ashamed. He felt shame. That's the word I'm looking for. Peter was shamed because he knew that the Lord was trying to get at that love. And he said, "Lord, you know all things, and thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Vance Havner said that we need to love the Lord supremely more than these. We need to love the Lord actively. "Feed my sheep." And we need to love the Lord repeatedly. Three different times over and over again. "I love you. I love you." Somebody say, "I love you, Jesus." I love my wife, Darnell. We've been married 25 years this year, and I'll tell you one thing. I told her that I loved her on our wedding day, and I told her, and guess what? I told her today, and I'm going to tell her tonight, and I'm going to tell her tomorrow. But listen, we need to continually just verbalize and repeatedly say, "Lord, I love you." Can you lift your hand and say, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I praise you." Now notice this, and I'll be done. Notice this. In that moment, Jesus never, this is something that I never thought about until recently. But I'm going to tell you, Peter denied the Lord three times. That's big time stuff. But did you ever see Jesus mention that to him? Did you ever say, "Now, Peter, you denied me three times"? He never said that, did he? He just said, "Peter, Do you love me? And do you also know that Peter never himself ever mentions it again? Let me tell you something. When God forgives you, then forget it. It's gone. It's under the blood. I don't care how bad that sin was. I don't care how bad that mistake was. Today is a new day. And you talk about a comeback kid. He went from that shore of restoration. He went from that luck of love. And he went from that repentance and that confession again. I love you. I love you. He went on and he preached, and 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost. He went on and had so much close encounters with God that just the shadow of him passing by, people were instantly healed. He went on and he defied Rome to its foundation. He went on and wrote 2 books of the New Testament. He went on and opened the door to the Gentile nations, not Paul, but Peter. He went on and he had close encounters with God. I want you to know, I don't care how far you've fallen, you can have close encounters with God. He loves you. And I want to call you this morning to get right in the middle of what God wants to do in your life. And don't let the devil sift you and tear you. And I want you to be all that God wants you to be. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? There's someone looking. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There's someone looking this morning. And he's calling out to you. You may feel like you have failed, and you may feel like you have sinned, but I want you to know this morning that God loves you.
Yes, he does.
And his plan is not failing. And I want you to respond to that. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you've never received Jesus, or if you've gone away a long, long time, maybe it's been a long time, maybe you, what we've called, like Peter, you've been walking afar off, you've been woman by the wrong fire, you've been walking with the wrong people, I want you to know it's time to come back. It's time to reverse that and get right in the middle of what God wants to do. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want to ask Jesus into your heart for the first time or for renewal, would you just lift up your hand? Let me see your hand this morning. I see hands lifted, several hands lifted. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Pray this prayer with me. Everyone that just lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer, and everyone else is going to pray it as well. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you in need of grace and forgiveness. I have followed you afar off. At times I have sinned. But today I repent. And I love you. And I love you. And I love you. Forgive me of my sins. I want close encounters with you. I thank you for your love. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you rose from the dead. And by grace through faith, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Come on and praise him this morning if you're saved today. I'm saved. I said I'm saved. I might not have the world's goods. I might not have all that Donald Trump has or others have. But I've got Jesus and I'm saved. If you rejoice in that, say amen this morning.
Amen.
Do you want close encounters with the Lord? Do you want to get right in the middle of what God's doing? If so, we'll just let's sing and just come on out and join me at the altar. And let's have close encounters with the Lord. And I'll pray with you if you have a need this morning. Go ahead. Come on down this morning. A close encounter. If you need healing this morning, the shadow of Peter is passing. The shadow of Peter is passing again. Healing this morning. If you need to get back to the fire, back to the friends, back to your faith. Come on, sing that this morning, everybody. Hallelujah.